rivers, geese who jump and drown. Only the solitudes of skyscrapers and pavements, only the cafeterias filled with the millions, only the mysterious rivers and tears of the streets. Only the lone juggernaut, only the vast land of the middle class, only the crazy shepherds of rebellion.
Der Traum Gottes und der Traum der Menschheit sind so alt wie das Leben der Menschen auf der Erde. so alt wie diese Liebenden, die sich umarmen, seit es Menschen gibt, im Sand, am Strand des Pazifischen Ozeans in Südamerika. Hier beginnt unsere Geschichte und unser Traum.
Dieser Traum von der Schöpfung stammt aus einer Zeit, als der weiße Mann Amerika noch nicht entdeckt hat. Als in Amerika 100 Millionen Menschen in einer hochentwickelten Kultur lebten. Christoph Kolumbus, der Entdecker Amerikas, schrieb dem Papst in Rom, er habe das verlorene Paradies gefunden. Ich glaubte und glaube, wie alle weisen Männer und heiligen Theologen glauben werden und glauben, sagte Kolumbus, dass in diesem meinem Land das verlorene Paradies liegt.
Thank you. Thank you. ständigt närvarande i FN. Ägna sig åt annat. Ägna sig åt annat. Och det finns ju mycket som han kunde ha ägnat sig.
Eländig, aldrig tvekat. Eländig.
Gång på gång upprepar par. Gång på gång.
Mörkgrön granskog skuggar över viken. Ytterligare en sång med Jussi. Mörkgrön granskog skuggar över viken.
Guernica, Oradour, Babi Yar, Katyn, Lidice, Sharpeville, Treblinka. Där har våldet triumferat. Där har våldet triumferat.
Ziggy Stardust was one of the most influential artistic creations of the 1970s. More than just a rock and roll superstar, this glamorous creature from outer space became the most iconic creation of the golden age of rock.
Ziggy played guitar, jamming good with Weird and Gilly.
The alter ego of David Bowie, one of the most innovative and influential forces in modern music. Ziggy's cocksure swagger and pouting androgyny appealed to pubescent working-class youth who realized that rock's long hair and denim were no longer enough to be outrageous.
I'm an alligator. I'm a mama, papa coming for you.
I'm Gary Kemp from the band Spandau Ballet, and this BBC World Service programme explores the inspiration behind the creation of Ziggy and the influence of the seminal album The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars, which 40 years ago became the benchmark by which a generation would forever judge pop and youth culture. Ziggy was delivered to us in the summer of 72 as a fully formed alien rock star, an exotic being that represented the last pop star on a dying planet. A guitar-toting androgyne from outer space come to save this world's disaffected youth. But David's creation was the result of a fertile imagination, fueled by a diverse and fascinating catalogue of characters. He was born David Jones in Brixton, a suburb of South London, in 1947. One of his earliest musical epiphanies occurred at a performance by one of rock and roll's most outrageous performers, Little Richard, who David went to see with his school friend, George Underwood.
What was really impressive for David was when Little Richard stands up on top of his white grand piano and is singing away. And suddenly, in the middle of a number, it's like, it's holding his heart. And the band sort of slow down, stop. And David looks at me and says, what's the matter with him? I said, I don't know. It looks like he's having a heart attack or something. Oh, my God, he said, we're watching Little Richard die in front of us. And the MC comes out and says, is there a doctor in the house? And all that stuff, you know. And there he is lying down on the floor. Of course, the microphone wasn't too far away from him. And as everyone sort of crowded round him and they started moving back to their instruments, suddenly out came, and the house went crazy, everyone went mad. And if you think about that from a 14-year-old point of view, who wants to create perhaps a character later on in their career, there's this element of, as in Ziggy, a rock and roll suicide, isn't there? Dying on stage was, you know, ultimate way of going.
Little Richard's showmanship made a big impression on the 14-year-old David, who was determined to become a rock star. Over the next few years, he performed in several different groups, at various times experimenting as a mod, folky, poet and a hippie, inspired by an assortment of writers, musicians and actors, including stage star Anthony Newley, playwright Bertolt Brecht and mime artist Lindsay Kemp. David changed his surname to Bowie in 1967 to avoid confusion with the lead singer of the American group The Monkees, and scored his first chart hit in 1969 with the song Space Oddity. This is ground
control to Major Tom. We would sit up all night sometimes talking about whether there were people looking down at us, as in Life from Mars type stuff. Was at that time something which everyone was looking at, UFOs, and we'd drift off into the fact that they definitely are here, so let's get used to it. A lot of his lyrics, I think, come from drunken evenings when we would just sit and talking nonsense, basically, about the possibilities of life on other planets.
The concept of life from outer space featured strongly in the music David was writing in early 1971. For his fifth album, as he began formulating ideas for an experimental character, Ziggy Stardust. The visual aspect of Ziggy took further shape when David went to see Andy Warhol's controversial production of Pork in London in August 1971. Andy Warhol looks a scream, hang him on. David loved the play's outrageous sexual content and met with Warhol at his factory in New York the following month, and was very influenced by Andy's artistic philosophy. Lee Black Childers was one of Warhol's acolytes.
That's what the factory did. The factory did pretend things. When I first met Andy Warhol, he said, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I guess I want to be a photographer. And he said, well, then you're a photographer. And I said, well, I haven't had any lessons and I don't know anything. And he pointed across the room at Candy Darling, who was one of the great Warhol drag queens. And he said, see her? Well, he says she's a woman, and so she is. And that's what you do. You just say whatever it is you are, and then that's what you are. Everyone will believe you.
In many ways, that's what Ziggy Stardust was to David Bowie, wasn't it?
That's exactly what we did. We just said, we are great, fabulous stars.
In New York, David also met Iggy Pop and Lou Reed, whose musical approach had a big impact on David. Trevor Boulder was David's bass player.
Seen Iggy perform it or something, and he thought, well, the punkish thing is the way to go, you know, to make a stamp on the music industry and to change his image and change what was going on.
While most British rock musicians at the time were looking to America for inspiration, David was drawing on European influences to colour his work. Producer Ken Scott worked extensively with David during the early 70s.
He's always said he's like a chef. He pulls all of these different things in and finishes up making his own stew, which becomes him.
People's hair, I've the makeup on his face.
One of the rock and roll inspirations for Ziggy was Vince Taylor, an expatriate American rocker who moved to France and enjoyed a moderately successful career. One night, Vince went on stage dressed in white robes, exclaimed himself to be Jesus Christ, and sacked his band, effectively committing rock and roll suicide. The story lodged in Bowie's imagination and fueled the creation of a doomed rock star, whose stardom grew too big for a mortal to handle. As David was filtering all these disparate external influences, the songs he was writing for Ziggy evolved in Haddon Hall, a sprawling Victorian mansion in the southern London suburb of Beckenham, where David lived with his wife Angie, their young son Zoe, and an assortment of artists and musicians, including Trevor Boulder, guitarist Mick Ronson, and drummer Mick Woody Woodmansey.
He had a lounge at Haddon Hall, and he'd go, "Woody, come in, I've just finished one," and he'd just sit and play it. You go, "Oh yeah, that's good." So then a couple of days later, going to where the piano was, "Just finished this one." "Oh yeah." So his writing drastically started to change.
As David's songs were evolving, so was his appearance, and Stanley Kubrick's film, A Clockwork Orange, was a major inspiration. Trevor Boulder.
He wanted us to dress in like the boiler suits, but colourful with the boots. You know, everybody thought that we were dressing like spacemen, but we weren't. With the column droogs, I think, we were actually modelled on Clockwork Orange.
In order to create the clothes David wanted Ziggy to wear, he enlisted the help of his designer friend, Freddie Barretti, as Woody remembers.
He was a great tailor. When he made something, it was made for you. It did fit. It was like, whoa, I've never had a jacket like that before.
David's entourage were all involved in the selection of materials for the